Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. This week's question is a great one because it comes up a lot in various forms, and that is, does co-sleeping make separation anxiety worse? Co-sleeping, for anyone not in the know, is also called bed sharing or family bed, and basically it describes parents who sleep with their kids. That's it. That can mean anything from kids who climb into their parents' bed after a nightmare, to kids who start out in their parents' bed and then their parents carry them and put them into their own beds, or whose families have one big bed made up of a lot of mattresses and everybody just piles in. How we sleep is a cultural decision, not just the whole broad culture, although obviously we are impacted by our social mores, but also a family culture decision. Lots of families co-sleep, and I have no opinion whatsoever about that as long as everyone is more or less happy and is getting enough sleep. This is one of those parenting decisions that I don't think you can take out of context of the family functioning and say, it is good or it is bad. It's neutral. It's good if your family likes it and it works, and it's bad if your family doesn't like it and it doesn't work, okay? So just to be clear about that, I have no bias about whether or not you co-sleep with your kids. It's a personal decision. But does it cause separation anxiety? Well, there I have some thoughts and I'm going to share them. Let's talk about what separation anxiety is. It describes kids who struggle to separate from their parents beyond when it is developmentally appropriate. We expect kids to go through periods of separation anxiety. We know that older infants, around 8 months or so, start to cling to their parents and caregivers. This is the age where babies that were perfectly happy to get passed around stop liking it. The rise in separation anxiety in infants goes along with their developing object permanence, which means that your baby is learning that things continue to exist even after they can't see them. That gives them the ability to hold their parent in their mind even after their parent has left, which also gives them the ability to miss the parent, thus separation anxiety. This continues into toddlerhood, but we shouldn't be surprised when it crops up later, especially when kids are challenged in new ways. For example, it's not atypical for a preschooler or even a kindergartner to cry when they're left at school for the first time. Generally, they're growing out of it, so even if they are upset, they are learning how to tolerate their discomfort long enough to acclimate to their new environment. With school starting, families moving, any kind of big change, we might see a little bit of separation anxiety to come back up again. Separation anxiety disorder is when the child is not able to acclimate. A 4-year-old who is a little tearful and doesn't want their parent to leave may be typical, but a 6-year-old who is struggling in the same way might need some extra consideration. Or a four-year-old who doesn't eventually get comfortable but continues to stay distressed, well, we'd also want to make note of that. That can be a sign of true anxiety and anxiety disorder, not just a developmentally appropriate reaction. And yes, we do see separation anxiety at bedtime when those anxious kids are needing to separate from their caregivers. It's one reason some kids struggle to go to bed. Not always, of course. Some kids just want to stay up where the action is, or because they know that's when you get out that ice cream you've got hidden in the back of the freezer. But other children who insist on parents lying down with them, or who won't stay in bed unless their parents come to bed with them, yes, that can be a sign of separation anxiety. Now let's be clear. Co-sleeping doesn't cause this. Co-sleeping may happen in reaction to it. So if a parent feels unable to leave their upset child or gives in to tears and lets them sleep in the big bed even though they don't want them to, that's a reaction. The parent is reacting to the child's distress. So co-sleeping doesn't cause it, but you can see that it can perpetuate it, because the more often we give in to the anxiety, the more entrenched that anxiety becomes. Again, if the whole family is happy with this scenario, then no worries. But if the family is unhappy with the scenario, then something needs to change. This is the thing about anxiety. Some of it is situationally dependent. For example, it's common in other countries and in other cultures for adult children to continue to live with their parents. That doesn't cause separation anxiety, but some adult children who do live with their parents are doing so because of anxiety. Or think about a city like New York. Lots of people there don't have driver's license because they don't need them. It's got nothing to do with anxiety about driving a car. But sometimes not having a driver's license as an adult may be an anxiety symptom. How do we know the difference? It's about how people feel about it. If someone wants more independence, if they want to sleep on their own, if they want to move out of the house, if they want to drive a car, but they're not able to access that, that's an anxiety issue. Or if the other people in the family are wanting the person to have more independence, they're wanting the person to be able to manage their own transportation, or they're wanting the child to sleep on their own, that is an anxiety issue. It's also a boundary issue. In other words, parents are going to have to figure out how to set and hold boundaries in ways that are appropriate for themselves, for their child, and their family as a whole, as part of anxiety treatment, which is, as I've said, very personal. Sometimes I work with families where there is definitely separation anxiety present, including around bedtime, and that's what brings the family into the program. Other times I work with families where there is definitely separation anxiety present, including around bedtime, but the family's not concerned about it. They're more concerned about the presentation elsewhere, like getting the child off to school or going to play dates or letting mom go to the bathroom with the door shut. That's fine. We can and we should focus on the issue that's causing the family grief. We do not need to start with areas where the family has not identified a problem. Now, I think it makes sense to consider it as part of the big picture. Is this co-sleeping part of an anxiety presentation? But that doesn't mean that we need to stop co-sleeping if the family is happy with it. The family gets to decide what works best for them, period. What I have found is that when we're doing good work around separation anxiety or about any other kind of anxiety, that the family is able to make appropriate individualized decisions about things like co-sleeping and babysitters and homeschooling and other things that are more personal and more cultural. Every family has different expectations and limits around those things. But when it's all getting more healthy in general, it becomes easier to know what to do in any particular situation. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.